Good morning, everyone. Thank all of you for being here this morning. As Don said, we do have some visitors. I have an old friend here this morning who I haven't seen in, I know, 22 years, and I even forgot his name. He had to remind me who he was. Stanley Newport and his wife are here, and we appreciate them being here. And I hope you'll come back, Stanley, each and every chance you get. And we hope everybody will be back tonight at 6:30. I please ask you to open your Bibles, if you will, on this most important lesson. It's a lesson that could determine where you will spend your eternity. The question I want to put before you this morning is, will the good people of all churches be saved? Will the good people of all churches be saved? This is a question that is met on almost every corner. The average person is quite puzzled and at a loss to explain the situation of those who are honest, yet believing to different religious bodies and believing different doctrines and following different practices in a religious way. The least embarrassing way out, if a person does not have to face the Bible for an answer, is to say that all good people of all religious bodies will be saved regardless of their religious affiliation. That's the easy way out. As a matter of fact, that's what a Baptist preacher told me not too long ago at the Little Flock Baptist Church out on Preston Highway, which is one of the largest Baptist churches in the city of Louisville. So let us face this question honestly and fairly in the light of divine revelation. And apart from the Bible, no one can know who is saved now or will be saved in the hereafter. First, brethren and friends, what we think about the question will not settle it. All Bible questions must be settled by the Bible and not by what we think. Second, neither can it be settled by our feelings. Yet many depend wholly on our feelings for their religious practices and beliefs. Third, what our grandparents taught us in the past or how or think and feel now will not give us a safe answer. Fourth, the creeds and the conferences of men cannot settle the question. And fifth, then, to whom can we go? To whom can we go? Where can we find an answer and that's safe and that is sound? What a person must do to be saved, to which church a person must belong to please the Lord, what a person must practice in order to please the Lord, and if the good people in any religious body can be saved, these questions, brethren, and all these questions must be determined from what the Bible teaches. Then how are we to be judged? If you would, come with me to John the 12th chapter, and let's look at verse 48. John chapter 12, in verse 48. Let's hear the words of our Lord when he said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word," that's the Bible, "the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, if that's not enough for you, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. In verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. So, brethren and friends, let us turn to God's Word for an answer, meanwhile laying aside all of our personal ideas and a willingness to be led by God's Word. We cannot arrive at the correct answer to this question unless we are willing to accept some fundamental points which are clearly taught in the Bible. First of all, men must do God's will to be saved. That's the first thing you must do. You must do God's will to be saved. Please open your Bibles to Matthew the 7th chapter, and let's look at verse 21, which is a familiar verse by most people, most Bible students. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Our Lord Jesus said, "Not every one saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but," He that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. He that does the will of the Father, that is who is going to be saved. Now in the same chapter, look at verses 24 through 27, where Jesus gives the parable of the two builders. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, my friends, he who hears and does the words of Christ is building upon the rock. And he who does not obey Christ is building upon the sand. Now, if you would, turn over to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Matthew, the 17th chapter. God's will for people today is revealed by Christ. We are commanded to hear him as we read in Matthew 17 and verse 5 where the Bible says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Christ chose, he trained, and he qualified 12 apostles who were sent the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth in binding and loosing on earth the things that are now bound and loosed in heaven. Come with me, if you will, to John the 16th chapter. John chapter 16. Our Lord said in verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Brethren, go back, if you will, to Matthew the 16th chapter. Matthew the 16th chapter and verse 19, Jesus said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth it shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So you see, since men must do God's will to be saved, and since only those who do His will have promise of entrance into the kingdom of heaven, well, then a number of inevitable conclusions follow. First, men cannot be saved merely because they're good. You cannot be saved just because you're good. The preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20 said, surely there is not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Paul told the Romans that there is none righteous, no, not one, in Romans 3:10. And again Paul said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3 and verse 23. Hence, the major premise that all the good people of all churches will be saved breaks down when it's tested by the Bible. If men can be saved on their own goodness, then Christ died in vain. And we know he didn't. Jesus prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass. It did not pass. Therefore, it was not possible for God to save the world without the death and the suffering, both mental and physical, of Jesus. Now, since we cannot be saved on our own righteousness, we must submit to the righteousness of God. And David said, for all thy commandments are righteousness, in Psalms 119 and verse 172. Turn your Bibles, please, to Acts the 10th chapter. As Peter began his sermon to Cornelius in his house, he said in verse 34, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. Now, brethren, we all know that Cornelius was a good man. He was a good moral man. But he was told to send for Peter, who would tell him whereby he and his household might be saved. Now look at Acts 11 and verse 4. Next page. 11 and verse 14. Excuse me. 11 and verse 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Now turn back to Acts 10 and verse 48. Before Peter concluded his message, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Therefore, we can conclude that baptism is part of the righteousness, one of the commands to which men must submit before God will accept them. Now, it takes more than faith to be saved. Someone may be ready to admit that a person cannot be saved on his own goodness, and if you do, then you admit that your major premise is false. But then, some insist that all who believe in Christ as their Savior, regardless of church affiliation, will be saved. Well, turn to John chapter 1 with me. In John chapter 1, here we see the believer has the right, or he has the power, to become a child of God. John wrote in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we see a person is not a child merely because he believes. I hope you see that. So we have also read that many believed on Christ. We see that. We see that many believed on Christ. They believed him to be the Savior of the world, the Son of God. But you know what? They wouldn't confess him. They believe, but they wouldn't confess him. The Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John wrote in verse 42 of John 12, just turn over there if you would. Verse 42 of John 12, he wrote, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They had believed. They believed on Jesus, but they didn't confess him because they were afraid of men, afraid to be put out of the synagogue. So I ask you, were they saved? Certainly not. Certainly not. They will not only be saved, but they will be denied by Christ in the last day. How do we know this? Come with me to Matthew 10 and verse 33. You will be denied by Christ if you don't confess him. Verse 33 of Matthew 10. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. No one can come to Christ unless he is lost. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. That's in Luke 19 and verse 10. No one can come to Christ unless he's a believer. You remember what we just read in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Remember that? Hence, lost, penitent believers are those who are fit subjects to become children of God. No one can accept Christ as their personal Savior by faith only. It takes both faith and baptism. Come with me to Mark 16 and verse 16. It's a familiar passage. Most of us probably have it memorized. Mark 16 and verse 16. Jesus said, and brethren and friends, remember, this is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior speaking. It's not an apostle. It's not an inspired writer. It is not Jerry Shaw. It is not any man, but it is our Lord Jesus. And he said in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Makes me wonder why there's about 18 million Baptists this very morning in the pulpit saying that baptism is not essential. Why are they doing that? They won't give you an answer. They won't give me one. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You remember what Peter told the multitude on Pentecost after preaching the first gospel sermon when they asked him in verse 37? Men and brethren, what shall we do? You remember Peter's answer? Well, look at verse 38. Now remember, brethren, that Peter had the privilege of being the first in the whole world, the first of all time to announce the terms of admission into the kingdom of heaven. And this is what he told that multitude in Acts 2 and verse 38. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So you see here, in 29 plain and simple words, we're told what one must do to be saved and enter the kingdom of heaven. How simple and how plain God's word of salvation is. And it takes more than being religious to be saved too. Turn back to Matthew the 7th chapter. Matthew the 7th chapter. Earlier we read verse 21. I want to read now verses 22 and 23. Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 22, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Brethren and friends, we learn from this passage that many who are religious will be lost. Many who are religious enough to pray and to work will be lost. It takes more than prayer to be saved. It takes more than just working in some church. The will of God must be done. It must be done. And to reject the doctrine of Christ and to teach some other doctrine is evil. And those who are guilty are evil workers. A person does not have to be wicked or immoral to be guilty of iniquity. Those who have been religiously wrong will be turned away at the judgment as workers of iniquity. And it takes more to be saved than just being honest and sincere. The Apostle Paul lived in all good conscience, as he said in Acts 23 and verse 1. Yet he at one time was a violent persecutor of Christians, a persecutor of the church. He said that he verily thought that he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Christ. He was honest, but he was honestly wrong. A person today may be in that same position, honest but honestly wrong. Therefore, it takes more than being honest and sincere to be saved. Proverbs 16 and verse 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." A person better not risk his eternal destiny on a way that he seems right, that seems right to him. Paul commanded that we prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Jesus said that those who are to enter the kingdom are those that do God's will, not just morally or actively religious in some religion or just honest in their convictions. Brethren and friends, we had better study the Bible. We had better learn and we had better understand God's will and then do God's will. And ignorance cannot save us either. Some think that if a person does the best he knows how to do, that he'll be saved. God today does not overlook ignorance as he did in ages past. I'm going to prove that to you. Look at Acts the 17th chapter with me. Acts the 17th chapter. In verse 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. Christ was crucified through ignorance. We see that in Acts 3 and verse 17. But the ones who did it were guilty nevertheless. And that's seen in Acts 2 and verse 23 and verse 46. Paul charged the Jews of his days of being ignorant of God's righteousness. Turn with me to Romans, the 10th chapter. He accused his Jews of his day of being ignorant of God's righteousness. Romans 10 and verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish, listen now, their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. One must know and one must obey the truth to be made free from sin. The gospel must be preached. The gospel must be obeyed. There is no promise that a person can be saved by doing just the very best that he knows. He must know and do God's will to be saved. It's just that simple, my friends. He must do God's will to be saved. And how do you know God's will? There's only one way that I'm aware of, and that is to study it. Study your Bibles, friends. And if anybody has trouble studying their Bible by themselves, see me after class, and we'll set up a class, and we'll study it together. Now, brethren and friends, we now know that those who do the will of God will be saved. But one cannot do God's will, regardless of how sincere he may be, and in a religious body not found in the revealed will of God that teaches doctrine contrary to his will and worships contrary to divine revelation. Therefore, the good people of all churches will not be saved. This conclusion is based on the premise laid down by Christ and on the fact that the Bible is the final and complete revelation of God's will to man. There is no promise in the Bible that good people of all churches will be saved. No one should teach that which is not revealed in the Bible. Therefore, no one has Bible authority to teach such doctrine. If God, in His mercy, sees fit to accept those who have not done His will, that will be His business. But no one can have written hope or assurance of acceptance in disobedience. Turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter now. Hebrews chapter 5. Christ has only promised to save the obedient. Only the obedient. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation, listen now, unto all that obey him. Who? Those that obey him. That's who. No one can obey Christ by entering a religious body or church that Jesus did not build, that wears an unscriptural name, that teaches a doctrine contrary to the Bible, and worships contrary to divine revelation for Christians as set forth in the New Testament. Therefore, the good people of all churches will not be saved. Why? Because they're good? No, because they have not obeyed Christ. They have not obeyed Christ. And this hurts me too, brethren, to say this, because I have in my immediate family those that are members of denominations, and I know that they're not going to be saved. Brethren and friends, that brings us to our last point. No one can do God's will, obey the gospel, or obey Christ, and fulfill his religious duties except in the church of Christ. Christ built only one church. He said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. One church, singular. Not churches, one church. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, and it is his spiritual body, and he says, and Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 22 and 23, he says, and put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. In Ephesians chapter, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul said He is the head over His body, His church. He built no other church, brethren and friends. There's no way around it. He built no other church. He is the head of no other church. His church. The only church you read about in the Bible, in the New Testament, the church of Christ. Christ's church did not, when it was established, nor does it now constitute a multitude of different denominations, wearing different names, believing, teaching different doctrines and creeds. All other religious bodies either add to or take away from divine revelation. They fall short in the doctrine of how to be saved, or they corrupt the worship by innovations for musical instruments and so on, or they fail to maintain the scriptural pattern of congregational independence. And nearly all religious bodies teach that a sinner is saved by faith only, without and before baptism, in water for the remission of sins. However, remember we read early what Peter declared in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, repent and be baptized. Repent first, then be baptized to be saved. My friends, this is a positive divine command. This is not a suggestion. It's a command that stands between the sinner and his salvation when Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The majority of the religious people, though honest, have not done the things that Jesus demand must be done to be saved. One final passage, Romans chapter 6. Come with me, please. The Apostle Paul told the Romans in verse 3 of chapter 6. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also in the likeness of His resurrection. Brethren and friends, it is definitely taught in Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 that we just read that we are baptized into the death of Christ. It is here that we reach the cleansing power of the blood of Christ that we're going to sing in a few moments. We're at this point made free from sin. Now if you just look at verse 18, Paul here declares that we must obey from the heart, which includes the understanding, the emotions, and the will, that form of doctrine. And verse 18 says, and being then made free from sin. And brethren and friends, most religious bodies will bind on their members a name that is not found in the Bible. Therefore, we confidently affirm that the Church of Christ is the only religious body in which a person can be scripturally baptized, be a Christian and a Christian only, worship and serve God in harmony with divine revelation without addition or subtraction. And I certainly don't want anyone to say to me on Judgment Day, Jerry didn't tell me or didn't make it clear what I needed to do to be saved. Oh, I don't want you to ever say that. The alien sinner must first hear the gospel. The gospel is explained as being the death of Christ for man's sins and His burial and His resurrection. These are the great facts of the gospel, brethren. And they establish the great truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God. And then once you hear that gospel, you must believe that gospel. Then you must confess Jesus, faith in Jesus as the Son of God, because He most certainly is. Then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Baptism is a burial in water and a resurrection to walk in newness of life. And when the sinner obeys or meets these conditions of pardon, he is thus recognizing Christ as his sacrifice for his sins and accepting Him as his Savior from sin. So I ask you now, my dear friends, can there be any questions as to what you must do to be saved? Won't you please come forward? Submit to King Jesus this very morning, remembering all the time, that if you miss heaven, you missed it all. If you miss heaven, you have missed everything. Please come forward now. If we can help anyone, please come now as we stand and as we sing.